Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, it's good to be back. Thank you very much for tuning in again, as usual. God bless you real good. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful feedback. We keep improving. We keep getting better by the day in Jesus' name. So welcome to CSC Graceville Bible Study. On Tuesdays every week, we meet like this across all social media platforms to share the word of the Lord together. And then today we are on lesson 10 in our Unified Bible Study Manual. And it's a very, very, very interesting and important lesson to learn this day, at this exact time and period. But let's say a word of prayers before we go ahead. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your children tuned in all over the world. We ask that you please speak to us, open our hearts, open our minds, that we'll get the mysteries and the secrets, the hacks for life in the name of Jesus. Our children will not become wayward in the name of Jesus. If there's any wayward child listening to this, or parents having wayward children listening to this, I speak, peace be still. That child will come back home in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. So lesson 10, it says increased waywardness in children. This is a very, very important lesson. Increased waywardness in children. And our text is Mark 13, 12. This is a very scary text, Mark 13, 12. It says, and brother shall deliver our brother to death, and father his child, and children shall rise up against parents, causing them to be put to death. That'll be massive betrayal that children will rise up against their parents to kill them. May we not have children that will rise up against us in the name of Jesus. This prophecy will not be fulfilled in the lives of you and I in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy, and there are other texts, 2 Timothy 3:2. 2 Timothy 3:2. It says, let me start from 1. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. May our kids not be disobedient to us in the name of Jesus. Okay. Introduction. Waywardness began with Adam. With Adam and Eve's disobedience to God's command, which led the whole human race into sin, Romans 5:12, Cain's refusal to heed the Lord's warning was another dimension of waywardness, Genesis chapter 4. Waywardness is being given to willful, perverse deviation from the expected norm. Beautiful definition. Definition here is that being given to willful, perverse deviation from expected norms. Being given to willful. People don't just want, they will just want to do things that are wrong. I remember I used to lead a group of teenagers in the UK, and it is unlawful, it is against the law to carry knife in the UK to actually land people to jail. So one teenager was just talking to me that she just feels like just carrying a knife and then the police will not catch her. I'm like, why? Like, that's feeling that, oh, I just broke the law, and they're happy. Like, how? How will? I don't get how that's. People just want to go against the norm. You know, we have talked about all these transgender laws that the West is forcing on the rest of the world. It's people just want to do things against the norm. So that is being wayward. It is straying. It is an act of deviating from what is expected of someone, especially being disobedient, lacking all good qualities of morality. The waywards are obstinate in the wrong, stubborn, intractable, vexing. I don't know which parent is listening to me and you have a wayward child. By the reason of the anointing on me, on my fathers, I speak, that child comes back home in the name of Jesus. It is not an easy thing to have a child who is wayward, especially when the parents have tried all they can. I've been in teenage ministry for a long time, in young people's ministry, and I've had parents come to me, pour out to me, cry at times. So I could understand your pain. I could understand what you're going through. By the grace of God, before the end of this lesson, you should be able to get one or two things in how to get that child back home, in how to prevent your child. Number one, prevention is better than cure. How to prevent your child from getting wayward. Then, God forbid, or if there's anybody who's already got a wayward child, by the grace of God, before the end of this lesson, you'll have gotten one or two things, one or two strategies to bring that child back home in the name of Jesus. Okay, waywardness is not limited to adults alone, definitely. After all have sinned, Romans 3:23, children are also part of waywardness. Children are also part of the waywardness pervading humanity. One of the major characteristics of the end time is the prevalence of waywardness among children. Let us look into this prophecy and how we can avoid negatively fulfilling it in this generation of ours. The truth is, we must be ready and willing to wrest our children from waywardness. May God help us. Sir, you must be like, whatever it will take, this one said, you are not going anywhere. One of my, I think my pastor's wife in the UK was always like, this one, she always confessed that on her children. Yeah, this one, I have dedicated you to the Lord. You are going nowhere. Even when the kids could be annoying at times, he say, you are going nowhere. I have dedicated you to the Lord. I have given you to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. Bishop T.D. Jakes, I think there was a time he had issue with one of his children, and he shared the testimony. The child is back home now, praise God. But he said the wife, even, you know, as fathers at times we may just be angry, want to make some decision, and the wife will always say that the devil cannot have my baby. The devil is not having my baby. Like, so one of it is never to give up. Keep confessing. No, the devil is not having my child. These ones are for the Lord. I have dedicated you to the Lord. I have given you up for God. Do not think you are coming back home. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's have some discussions. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. I don't know if I should read that because it's actually the Old Testament way of dealing with wayward children. Okay, let's just read it just for the fun of it. I mean, we're not going to do this to any of our children by the grace of God. Deuteronomy 21, 18. Okay, Deuteronomy 21, 18. Okay, sorry. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, just listen up. that will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they chasten him, will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of the place of his place, and they shall say unto the elders, this is our son, he is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall you put away the evil from the midst of thee, and Israel shall hear and fear. So this is a way of putting faith, like, you see someone that was rebellious and he was stoned to death, even if the spirit of rebellion wants to build flat in your life, like, I say, don't be me, I ain't going to fall for this. So but that was Old Testament, and that was Mosaic law, 5,000 year old law. So that was in the Old Testament. We're not going to practice that. We're not stoning our children to death, because we're not losing them to the devil. They're coming back home by the grace of God. Amen. Okay, Psalms 58, verse 3. Psalms 58, verse 3. So we're going to be reading some interesting scriptures, and we'll be having those discussions from that scripture. I've actually preached about this mindset or this school of thought in philosophy before. Now look at this, Psalms 58 verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. So we are told here that this verse implies the fact that children can be wayward and crooked from birth. And I think 2 weeks ago, I was in one of my sermons, I said I hold the school of thought that the mind of a child is tabula rasa, is plain, you write on it. However, the balance, what the scripture is saying here, is that because man is naturally sinful, who teaches a child how to lie, for instance, who teaches a child how to bite his mom's nipples when breastfeeding, and then the child knows that what she has done is wrong. So who teaches that child that what they are doing is wrong? So those are some. I think that is one. That is one of the reasons why the other school of thought hold that the mind of a child is not tabula rasa. Something is written on the mind. It comes with some slates. Well, but in terms of behavior, but we'll balance it. Proverbs 22, 6. Proverbs 22, 6 balances this out. So we could even say this, both schools of thought in philosophy about the mind of a child, it was found from the scriptures. Because it is saying that some people are wicked from birth, from the womb, they are wicked. And the Proverbs 22, 6. Let's see what Proverbs 22, 6 says. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Which means the mind of a child is mendable. Train up a child. The mind of a child is soft. You can train that child up. So Proverbs 22:6 implies that a child can become wayward if not well nurtured or trained in the way of the Lord. So that's the balance. So even though we're sinful, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are sinners from our mother's womb, but you can train the child. You can train up that child in the way of the Lord, and they will not depart from it when they are old. Your children will be trained of the Lord in the name of Jesus. And my children, by the grace of God. So, they're asking us a question here. We read Mark 13, 12. What does it mean when the Bible says children will rise up against parents and caused them to be put to death. If you are going theologically, this verse was written based on children, I mean, people who persecuted in the end time, then children will betray their parents to those persecutors and put them to death. But if you're going to do some hermeneutics, apply it to a day and time, children are physically really killing their parents as a proper real death. We've seen teenagers use their parents for ritual. We've heard of news a couple of months ago, a couple of years ago, where young people kill their mother, kill their own parents because they are looking for money. There was a woman who escaped being killed by her son for Yahoo Plus are those internet fraudsters that now use charms with it. So the woman went to beat her son, according to the story, and then the son was feeding her, taking care of her. Then all of a sudden, the son locked the door of the house. The son was about to kill her for rituals. Brethren, it's so yes, if you look at the exegesis, what was happening in those times, who was Jesus talking to, it was in the context of end time and the rapture, persecution, betrayal, people will betray their parents, the hand of the persecutors. Yes, those things will happen at the end time. When the Antichrist takes over the world, those things will happen. But right now, children are physically killing their parents. Our children will not rise up against us in the name of Jesus. Your child will not become that kind of a child in the name of Jesus. It's sickening. It's sad. Children will take up arms. I want to kill their own parents. I don't, and it's both ways. We've seen parents use their own children for rituals. It's just a sad world. Like one of our fathers sang, Baba Yawa, Jesus should just come. I mean, Jesus should just come. Thank God it is well. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:2, we've read that. A feature in end times, which says when children will be disobedient to their parents, is a feature in end time that defines its perilous nature. And that perilous nature is that children will be disobedient to their parents. Children will be so bent on going against the desires of their parents. And this will ultimately lead to disobeying all authorities, including schools, superiors, and government, and even eventually God. So it starts from wanting to disobey the parents, because it's the home is the smallest unit of the society, is the cell of the society. So when child is disobedient to the parents, it automatically gets to school, disobedient to their teachers, disobedient to government, disobedient to society, and disobedient to God. So that is why we need to nip it in the bud. It is good, yes, when we get to school, we shout on the teacher. Because I've been a teenager's teacher, and especially in the church, whereby you have access to these kids once in a week. And at times when some parents complain to me, I don't know if I've said this out to one or two people. For those of you who know me, maybe, because if I say I have not said it to someone, I'm very sure a number of we doubt it. But I used to say in my mind, and I'm not sure if I said it to one or two of the parents, that I have access to your child one day of the week, 2 hours, church service, max 3 hours. You have access to your child the remaining number of hours in the week. Your child, unfortunately, sadly, misbehaves, and you're blaming the teacher. What about you that you have all the time and all the access to your child, that is sleeping and waking up in your own house under your roof? Excuse me. So parents need to learn to start nipping things in the bud. It starts from the home. First, when they are disobedient to parents, they'll be disobedient in school. They'll be disobedient to the society. They'll be disobedient to their superiors at work. They'll be disobedient to government. They'll be disobedient to God. So don't wait to the end of that thing and say, hey, what are they teaching you in your school, in your house? As parents, we need God. God will help us. I mean, there are a number of parents that are doing extremely well. They've done all they can. They've prayed for the kids. They've done everything. They've been disciplined. They've done everything. And yet, so it's God that helps one to raise a child, because there's no child comes with a manual. I do. That's one of the things that I do say. No child comes with a manual. God is the one that will help you. When you go to God, how do I raise this one? How is this one different from the other, from their sibling? So yes, we start from the home. That's the point. If they're disobedient at home, they'll be disobedient in school. They'll be disobedient to any authority. They'll be disobedient to their superiors at work. They'll be disobedient to government. They'll be disobedient to God. There was something that came on news a couple of years, about 4 or 5 years back, that a child, I think, hit his father on the head with a plank or something. The father died. So I heard it over the radio, and the radio presenters were just having a conversation about that, how this world is getting. How will you hit your father on the head with a pestle or something like that, or turning stick, something heavy. So someone else said, I think it was not in Nigeria, so it happened abroad. So one of the radio presenters now said, well, if you've not been beating the child, if that child is because the child was not properly beaten when he was young, if you've tried something infinitesimal, your parents have descended on you, like, and they've beaten the daylight out of your bum and your hand and your back. You'll have reformatted your head as a child. So I'll just serve you. And the Bible says it about the rod. Spare the rod and spoil the child. We'll get there. I think it's also in this lesson. And we'll see how to also balance that, because some have also used it in an extreme, and the children now become recalcitrant, and they just don't know, is it not beating? So that is another. That is why we need to approach God on how to raise these kids. Lord, give me the wisdom. How do I raise this one? Because God gave you those children, and He didn't give you a manual to raise them. They didn't come with a pressure manual. So go back to God. How do I raise this one to become what you intended them to be? Praise the Lord. Okay. So examples of wayward children in the Bible. We talked about Cain, Genesis 4. Talked about Noah's son, Ham, saw the nakedness of his father and was laughing about it. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 28. Samson. Okay, don't let me go into this, because it is I've done a whole series on the character Samson before. It's on our podcast. Just check Tolu Tokodada and type for Samson. Loads of lessons to learn from the life of Samson. Okay, and I think Samson is also one of the most misunderstood characters in the Bible. Well, let's go ahead. Number 4, Eli's worthless sons. 1 Samuel 2, 12 forward. Eli's sons, we know how recalcitrant and how wayward they became. They made fun or made simple the sacred things of the Lord. And then the prodigal son in Luke 15, 1 following. Okay, Proverbs 22:15. Let's read that, because we're still going to stay in that Proverbs chapter 22. Okay, let me read verse 6, then we'll go to verse, we'll read verse 6, train up a child in the way it should go. So let's go to verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. My parents used to quote this for us before they beat us as children. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far. You see, now Cain go drive him. The rod of correction shall drive it far. Now, some of us don't use physical cane. That's why just correct the child with a rod. It may not necessarily be physical cane. That's putting the 21st century parenthood now into it, and God will help us. It may not, because for some of us in our countries, it may be prohibited to physically flog a child. Or from when they are sucking breast and they are biting you, use this thing to hit their mouth. It's not without okay now. But that's discipline. That's correction. The Bible says rod of correction. We often put emphasis on the rod, not the correction. And we turn that rod into physical rod. So if that doesn't mean the children that are not flogged, if your country doesn't permit that, that doesn't mean they will turn out bad. But the children that are not corrected, you get the difference? The children that are not corrected, those are the ones. So the rod of correction, in our days of growing up, bros, that rod, na real rod, real proper rod of correction. So, yes, we have different modes and models of training children now, but that correction, you cannot take it away. You may want physical rod. Some of you said nowadays you take privileges from them. That is the wrong form of rod of correction. Someone said something, the quotes that if your child does something, you better let the team go to the naughty corner. I don't think naughty corner works anymore, but that this quote was about 10 years ago. That it's better the child spends 5 minutes in the naughty corner, or the society will help you put him in a naughty jail. You will spend years in jail if you don't learn to send your children to go and do naughty corner or self-punishment. The society will, when they become disobedient to government, the society will force him to self-punishment at that time. Someone was telling me that if you tell your child to go to a naughty corner, they'll be playing in the naughty corner. These children gen alpha. So maybe that naughty corner thing has changed the game. Because these children, the child will say, should I go to the naughty corner? Okay. Then they come and join me in the naughty corner. So, but yes, the constant thing there is correction. Physical rod, verbal rod, but make sure the child is corrected. That is the underlying thing. Correction. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now Isaiah 54:13, to forestall waywardness among children, there is a provision in Isaiah 54:13. So let's read that, Isaiah 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught by the Lord. In Graceville, that's one of our mottos. Our children are taught by the Lord. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 54:13. Paste it in the corners of your house. Recite it every day. My children are taught by the Lord. My children are taught by the Lord. They will not be taught by this society. They will not be taught by their peers. They will not be taught by what's going on in the society. They are taught of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, in conclusion, today's society is critical for any form of discipline. And so many children do not learn how to obey and respect. Children need to know their consequences for whatever they do. We must awake to the responsibility of making our children know the Lord very early in life. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12:1-2, know the Lord or serve the Lord in the days, seek the Lord in the days of thy youth, when you still have the strength. So let them seek the Lord. There's no, I don't like giving negative examples, but it seems like it's negative examples that people use to understand positive example. Is there any child that is too young to be possessed by the devil? Have you seen 3-year-old demon-possessed children? 2-year-olds, 5-year-olds. So if the devil doesn't see your child as too young to be possessed, who says the child is too young to have the Holy Spirit? Who says the child is too young to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So train up your child. Like, let them know the Lord from the young age. And by the grace of God, God will reward our efforts in the name of Jesus. I mean, there are parents that are going all sorts, all round about their kids. I pray the Lord will reward your efforts in the name of Jesus. Okay. So we must awake to the responsibility of making our children know the Lord at very early stages in life, so that they wouldn't be victims of the negative fulfillment of 2 Timothy 3:2. Our children will not be victims of that, of fulfillment of that prophecy in the name of Jesus. Our children will not be fulfillment of that negative prophecy in the name of Jesus. So parents and stakeholders must seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and never give up. They must teach the children correctly, lovingly, and responsibly. So look, that's the balance. When you're correcting, let it be in a loving manner and in a responsible manner. Children do more of what you do. They copy more than they listen. They copy more than they listen. If you have children, you bear witness with this. So when you're training them responsibly, act what you are training. Act it. Don't say do as I say, not do as I do. They will do as you do. So when you're correcting them, it will be in love and with all sense of responsibility. And they must regularly review alternatives and consequences with children. So as parents, you must review alternatives and consequences. Don't just lord your authority down their throat. Even at times, you need to stick your foot to the ground as a parent. My 3-year-old was asking me one day, just jokingly though, that I think I was doing Bible study in her room. So after the Bible study, she came in and said, "Why are you using my room?" I'm like, "Hello, it's my house. Because it is my house, and you are not paying any dime in this house. I can use anywhere for anything." And she just looked at me and said, "No, it's our house." I'm like, 3-year-old. So yes, there are times that you need to put your feet down as parents and say, "I am the parent here." But there are also times, especially kids nowadays, they need to know why. They need to know. So you need to review alternatives. Okay, if you go this route, what is likely going to happen? So you need to, and consequences. A number of people don't understand. I think there was a time we did prison evangelism sometimes ago, a couple of years ago. And doing our mapping and finding out about things. And so there are some of them, especially the ones that were there, young guys that were there for rape, young boys, they never knew the consequences of rape. They didn't know. So some of this woke, hidden generation don't know the consequences of some of the things they are doing. You may sit them down and let's look at the consequences. So that's also one of the tactics used. I think I've seen a movie, I've forgotten the title. There was a prison movie that when they brought children that were being disobedient or unruly in school, they brought them to jail. They brought them on a visit to jail. So they've told the prisoners to scare the kids. When they go, "You want to come to jail? I'm going to kill you." So the kids were scared. So they saw the consequence that if you go this route, you end up here. So you may need to discuss alternatives and consequences with them. And then be firm in allowing them to experience the consequences of their choices. Yes, there are consequences. And it starts from simple things. When you do something, if you do this, I'm going to beat you. That is the consequence. If you now choose to do it, the consequence of your choice is I will beat you. No matter what, you will chop that kid. You will chop it. Because the same thing, if I tell you that if you do this, I will buy you ice cream. If you make that choice and you did it, as parents, we need to buy that ice cream. Yeah. If you do this, I will buy you sweets. As simple as that. So let them enjoy the consequences of their actions. And consequences don't have to be negative. It's both ways. So if you tell them, face your studies, get this grade, this term, I'll buy you a bicycle. The choices he makes to get those grades, let him enjoy the consequence. The consequence is, you need a bicycle, I'll buy it for you. And when they go the other way as well, don't cover up your children. If you cover them up, if you cover up your children, you will recruit a lawyer to cover him up when he's going to jail. Facts. When they do things, don't cover them. Stand firm. Let your child know that you will stand by the truth. And let your child know that if you tell me the truth, yeah, we stand by the truth. If you did well, who started it? Who drowned you? Let your child know. So let's just learn to make these people know that they can come to us no matter what. If you lie against my child and you can tell me the truth no matter what, is he lying? And the child knows that daddy has always been on this path, or mommy has always been fulfilling our words. They will. I want to believe by the grace of God that God will help us on them too. They will turn out well. So yes, consequences, very, very important. Both negative and positive, let them enjoy the consequences of their actions. Let them know that choices, there are consequences for choices. Trust me. We can't allow this prophecy happen in the lives of our children. No. There's a parent that is saying that, not on my child. This will not be on my child. Okay, let me just wrap up with this scripture. The Bible says, children are heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is its reward. As the arrow is in the quiver of a mighty man, so are children. I just want to look at that word, arrow. As the arrow is in the quiver of a mighty man. If you're going to do an hermeneutics, compare, bring it to this day and time, you can say, as the bullets are, or as guns are in the armory or arsenal of a soldier or a mighty man. So children are like guns or machineries in the military term. There was a time, many years ago now, maybe before COVID or around COVID thereabouts, there was a town in Southwest Nigeria. We read in the news that one person, that some youths attacked the military checkpoint close to their town, and they now took the gun of one of the soldiers. So, from what I've heard, I heard that a soldier would rather die than you collect his gun. So, taking the gun of the soldier, they now ran back to their town. So, we just heard, again, that soldiers just locked down. They just came. They locked down the town. I was passing through the town. There's an expressway that passes through the border of the town. So I just saw soldiers camp. Not that checkpoint. They were hanging clothes. Like they came to settle in that town, and they were going from house to house. Everybody come out, lie down on the what's it called, tarmac. Everybody, as much as you are a male, just come out. And they were going from house to house, house to house, because of one gun. And I'm like, is it that is the only gun available in the military base of Nigeria or whatever? No, there are several other guns, but that gun cannot go. That one gun. Yes, there are plenty in the armory, but that one gun, they recovered that gun. Hey, they went from house to house, house to house. If the military can treat guns like that, that is how you should treat your children. No gun is allowed. This one is not going. You know, there are times that parents, maybe from because of emotional outbursts, and say, Shebi, I have six. If five are good, you this one that I want to be bad, you can be bad. No, sir. No gun is allowed to be missing. None of my children. You know, I won't say, Shebi, your siblings are good. If you want to be bad, you can go anywhere. No. None of our children are allowed to be missing. No gun is allowed to go. Not one. Even if I'm not using it, let it shall be on my side. So let parents go with that zeal. No gun is permitted to be missing in my house. No gun is permitted to be missing. Not one. Not none of my children are permitted to be missing. Praise the Lord. Oh, time is gone. Let's just say the prayer point here. Let's pray. Let's ask God to deliver our children from all kinds of waywardness. Let's ask God that this prophecy will not be fulfilled in the lives of our children. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, you deliver our children from all kinds of waywardness. This negative prophecy will not be fulfilled in their lives. Thank you, Father. I want us to pray for any wayward child or any child giving their parents problems around you all over the world. Let's just stand in gap on behalf of those parents. Lord, we pray, Lord, every child giving their parents challenges. Lord, I pray for that child to come back home. Like the prodigal son came back to his senses. Sex enters into that child in the name of Jesus. That child should come back to his senses and retrace their steps back home. Every problematic child, I pray that the grip of the devil over you is loosed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name of prayer. Let's pray that the Lord Jesus will stop the devil from infusing our children with the spirit of disobedience. Let's pray that the Lord will stop our children will no longer be infused with the spirit of disobedience or the spirit of waywardness or the spirit of recrossing that in the name of Jesus. Our children are taught by the Lord. Great shall be their peace in the name of Jesus. The Lord will give them great peace, great wisdom. They are taught by the Lord. Holy Spirit will possess our children. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name of prayer. Father, we thank you for this awesome time in your presence. We ask, Lord, that our children will not be missing. We will not lose our children to the devil. If there is any child, any family suffering from a wayward child, a recalcitrant child, no matter how old or how young that child is, I call him back home in the name of Jesus. I call them back home in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Feedbacks and questions, you can put in the comment box. I will definitely respond to it. And then Couch Friday, this Friday, we're actually talking about something similar to this. Talking about pastor's kids. Is it a myth or a fact that they have to be wayward? Very, very, it's going to be an amazing time. Last week, Friday, was awesome. So please tune in at CSC Graceville on Twitter. So that's what we're going to have, Couch Friday, this Friday by 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. Stay in the
till the end. I am summer, always with you. I'll be with you until the end. I am Shalom, your great peace. I'll be with you until the end.